Hello and welcome to the Cat Business Club's podcast. I'm Paul James and today I'm talking to Rachel Bape from Rachel's Ramblin' Rovers and Steph Davison from Heart of the Pack.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. So today we're talking about collaboration and how you've both worked together in spite of being potential competitors, not just in the same business sector, but also in the same patch.
Yeah, so as a newcomer to the forest 2 years ago, and looking to set up a new business, because previously I had nothing to do with dogs other than owning them, I looked around and contacted in the first instance another dog walker in the area called Lisa from Pause a While With Me, and contacted her to see if we could meet up and have a coffee, with the pretense and obviously the aim of working with her rather than being a competitor. Took a little bit of work, which totally understand, new person to the area, new to the profession and everything, but now she is now, as well as a very good friend, we do work very well together. We pass jobs to each other. When we can't fit them in, we recommend each other. And so having learnt that from working with Lisa, when Steph moved to the forest and contacted me to see whether I would be interested in showing her how I worked, I was more than happy to do that.
Yes, similar for me. I moved to the forest just over a year ago now and tried to get in touch with a dog walker who didn't really respond to me. Finally ended up getting in touch with Rachel, who really encouragingly told me there was enough work to go around. That was a really good thing to hear from her. And since then, we have worked closely together. Rachel's passed dogs my way and we can cover for each other when we.
And Rachel introduced you to Cat Business Clubs as well.
She did. Yes.
And Lisa actually introduced you
to
Cat Business Clubs.
Absolutely.
So it's brilliant all round, brilliant for everyone.
Yeah. And I have to say, CAP has been fantastic for me. Mainly, I think, for me, being self-employed and having moved to the forest 2 years ago and not knowing anybody, getting me up and out of bed on a Monday morning with somewhere to go to and people to meet.
Well, it's the best way to start your working week.
It totally is. I actually agree with that. And I'm always trying to encourage others to come along to CAP because it's not, as everyone within the club knows, it's not to do with getting a huge amount of business out of the club. It is literally collaboration and
networking
yeah. and becoming friendly with people and then passing on details to other people, and it's certainly worked for me. And on that note, as Paul knows, I have tried to encourage another dog walker to join CAP because I think it will help her as well. So I think it's a great place to be.
Because your business, Steph, that's only about a year old, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's already doing really,
really,
really
well. Yeah.
If you'd probably taken the traditional route of competition, you probably wouldn't have got as far as you.
No, because the biggest percentage of my business has come from the networking I've done, largely from Rachel. A few have come in off my own back, but no, I would have half the business I have if I hadn't networked.
Yeah. But it's the collaboration.
Yeah, the collaboration with Rachel,
you know,
mainly.
With Rachel is
yeah.
just amazing. Because I've got so much respect for both of you, and I wish everybody would. You know, I hope everybody takes notice of this podcast because I'm a great believer in what you do, and when you see it work so well, it fills me with like a hope because there's nothing worse than spending half your working day, thinking about competition as competition because it sucks all your good energy. So,
I mean, it's worked for us in that if there's a dog or a client that contacts me and I'm not sure I can fit it in, I've contacted Stefan a number of times and we've actually gone to visit the client together. So they've met us together on an even basis, and then we've discussed their needs and that sort of thing as the three of us and worked something out. So
we have dogs that we share, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we have
Monday,
dogs that we share.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that works really well. And I say this to a lot of any new clients that I have. I say I will introduce you to another dog walker because I believe that, you know, if ever I can't help you out for holidays or injury or
that's
any
another
reason,
big thing. Holidays, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can both take a break now, and we're about to, if you were on your own, and this is what a lot of people find when they're sole traders, it's very, very difficult to make, you know, to take a break. But at least you can do that, which other people with the old type attitude
would struggle.
My
biggest fear is being ill, actually, and I have just booked, about to take my first holiday after a year of working, and it's great to have that network of other dog walkers around that will take over my clients while I'm away.
It also works really well. So for as an example, because we share a lot of the same dogs, Steph had an incident the other day where a dog she was taking out that I also take out got injured. No fault of anybody's, just being out in the forest and got injured. And it was, I felt really pleased that I was probably the first person she contacted. Because, you know, being able to contact someone and say, what would you do in this situation, rather than just being on your own and panicking and that sort of thing. And it just really works.
It can be quite lonely, can't it? When you're totally. When you've got someone else, and especially in the same
It makes
profession.
It slightly less lone working as well, I think, which is obviously a massive thing for us. You know, you fall over in the forest, as I know, break your ankle, that sort of thing. You know, what do you do? Who do you call? I can't call Ghostbusters, you know, stuff like that. So it's really
good.
We
can call on each other for help, can't we? I mean, obviously we never lose dogs, but should that happen, you know, we'd be able to call each other.
Or if a dog takes a wander and we're not sure which direction it goes in, you know. So we do, you know, as I mentioned to someone the other day, when I'm out walking dogs, I will not answer my phone categorically, because I think, A, it's unprofessional, and B, it takes you, it's like when you're out driving and you shouldn't answer your phone. It takes your mind off what you're doing. You could lose track of a dog, wanders off, you don't know which direction it went in. However, when Steph rings, I will always answer my phone, because who knows, we are this team, this bond, and it's
a phone
really
call
important.
Generally is an emergency,
a
isn't
phone
it?
Call generally is like each other.
Oh, no. No, it's still good though. It's just so many advantages. It's, you know,
so tell us a little bit about the services you offer.
Well, I offer dog walks for not less than an hour long and in groups, so I don't really have time now to take dogs, individual dogs on individual walks, or half an hour walks, and I don't really like them to be on the lead either. So I like good long walks, free dogs, and aside from that, home boarding. I'm licensed to board up to 3 dogs at a time, so either for the day or overnight.
Oh, I love the fact that you don't put them on leads.
I do. I have one that has to stay on the lead for a vet. It's from an operation she's had.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it is. But even that's a bind.
Yes.
I do really dislike them free, and to perfect recall to practices, so that it's absolutely...
That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's getting the recall right. If you get the recall right, there's no problem.
That's it, yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
So again, this is where we work really well together, because Steph's walks are different to mine. So we will recommend or refer clients to each other if we think the other person's way of walking suits better. So for example, I do my busiest day, I do 5 dog walks, whereas Steph will always just do 2. But that's because I have a half hour, at least 1 half-hour walk within that, because I've offered that to my client, and it means that I will take dogs and take them home at the end of the walk, whereas sometimes Steph will keep them for half a day, and that's why they get such a nice long walk. But for some clients that doesn't suit, and for some of my clients, they want a longer walk than the 45 minutes that I generally offer. And if that's the case, I will then offer them to Steph, because I know that that suits her business model better than it does mine.
See, that's something I would never have thought about. I would never ever have thought that there are different styles of dog walks.
Yeah, sure. It's something that you learn. It's quite interesting, because talking to all the different boarders and so on that I do, because I'm trying to go round and visit all the other dog boarders, home boarders in the area, so I can see their facilities and see what they offer that's different to mine. So knowing that some have got massive gardens and enclosed fields, I will recommend certain clients to them rather than my home that's got a small garden. And then I take dogs out regularly throughout the day, whereas they will take them out for a walk in the morning and a walk in the afternoon. So there's so many different ways of doing it out there.
Also, I know that you pop home in the day, because under the licensing regulations, you're not allowed to leave dogs in the house for more than 3 hours. So Rachel will pop back, whereas when I have a day boarder, I just put it in my car and it comes with me for the day.
Right.
Because I can't be doing with going home and doing that and being tied to that. So it will come on all the walks that I do, because that suits me better to just get in my car in the morning and not arrive home until I finish my work, whereas you do pop in and out, don't you?
Where's your catchment area? Is it quite wide, or...?
Well, it started wide, because initially you obviously can't say no to anything, because you're trying to build your business.
Get some traction, yeah.
Yeah, but you just have to be very careful, because something I didn't really appreciate before I started this was how much driving you do as a dog walker. It's phenomenal. So I will actually only, I say only, it's quite a large area. I cover Lydney, I cover Coleford, I actually do a walk, we both do a walk in Wollaston, mm-hmm. And I cover a lot of Coleford. I do Broadwell, Mile End, and places like that. But for example, I won't cover Cinderford because I have no clients out there at the moment. So if I'm going over to collect one dog, you have to think about the time it takes to drive there, then walk somewhere convenient, then drop the dog back, and then drive on to your next job. And you could just spend your entire day driving. So, and when
it already feels that way, doesn't
it?
It
does.
Yeah.
And when you get to the winter months, when you've got even less daylight mm-hmm. hours, you've then got to cram more walks into lesser hours, and it becomes even more complicated.
Rachel, you do 5 walks a day.
Mm.
You must be really fit.
My body is suffering. No, it's very different because we've discussed this, Steph and I, and you say I do 5 walks a day, but we reckon spend the same amount of time walking because my walks are shorter period of time than Steph's because that's the market that I've decided to go with. My longest walk will be 45 minutes, whereas
one walk for me might be 1 hour 20 minutes.
So it's very swings and roundabouts, if you see what I mean, but it just means that I pack more clients in. It's how I've chosen to do it. I essentially and historically have always been active. I've always been very sporty, so this is my activity. This I get home in the evenings and I'm happy to sit on the sofa and do nothing because I know I've done my 10,000 steps, whatever you want to call it.
At least 10,000
generally
steps.
It's normally about 20,000 steps a day now, but it's great. I want to be active, and this is really the perfect profession for me to do that.
Okay. One other question I'm quite interested in is you obviously take out 4 or 5 dogs at a time.
6 to 8
sometimes. Do they immediately form their pack? Do they all know their places, or do they have to sort that out over a little period of time?
It's quite interesting bringing in a new one to an established group. They tend to stay out and do their own thing, their own sniffing and stuff, and may not interact with the others. But over time, you see how they do come in, and they may play from the beginning, but there is that. I do see how they're accepted in. They tend to be outside a little bit.
Because that's when you really start to understand dogs, isn't it? Once you see a load of dogs together and they all kind of like find their places.
And the dynamics,
they
how they change.
They are pack animals, you know. Yeah. So they, there are some dog walkers, and no disrespect to them, that will say they do solo walks and they will only walk dogs on their own and they will walk the anxious dogs. That's fine. That's great. That's something that neither Steph nor I do. I'm a very big believer that dogs, my personal opinion is that dogs need to socialise. Mm. They are pack animals. They enjoy being together. Mm. I do appreciate that there are dogs out there that don't fit into that category.
But they can learn it, given the right environment.
We both believe that. Yeah. So, but slightly different to Steph, I'll take out 4 to 6 dogs at one time. And when I take on a new dog, my first thing that I try to do with them, if I can fit it in, is walk them with my own 2 spaniels so that I can gauge their behaviour and I can get an idea of who I think within my walks that they will get on with. But learning the skills of trying to see what characteristics a dog has and who it's going to get on with is... It's something you learn as you go along. Steph has a lot more experience of dogs than I do, so for me, I'm learning every day.
Do you find if there's 2 kind of like really dominant dogs, and do they ever sort of like come to loggerheads, or
I've not had that. I've had a few snap dogs that are snappy with other dogs, but not in an aggressive way. It's more of a possessing, being protective over a stick or something
like this.
But I put boundaries quite early, if that makes sense, and they do listen to me, so with a no I can completely divert them.
Right.
Steph is the dog whisperer, obviously. I send dogs to Steph that need training.
You do horses as well, Steph?
Yeah, I've got horses as well. I used to compete at endurance, so this is a gentler type of exercise.
Do you use the same principles with dogs as with horses?
Yeah, apparently they have different learning mechanisms because a dog is reward based and a horse is different, but there's a lot of things that work the same.
Definitely. I think because my wife Sharon had a horse, And she uses the same. She taught the horse using the Pirelli methods,
mm-hmm.
and she'd done the same. She's done the same with our collie dog Fliss, and she's trained her because it's her dog, and it's just amazing to watch. And she does use the same principles as the horse, and she actually used to use a reward with the horse, and it did actually work with her last gelding. It would have worked.
Well, it's quite interesting because I literally, in the last week, have had my inspection for my licence renewal for the boarding. And the chap who came and did the inspection asked me if I had any qualifications in horses. And if you have a qualification that's within the equine world, it will transfer to the dog world. So because it's care of animals, they put it on the same board,
right.
the same
wow.
level. So that was quite interesting. That,
I didn't know that.
So if you have a horse qualification, then you qualify for looking after dogs. But it's all animal care, isn't it? It's all to do with animal welfare.
Yeah,
so
it's all
that's what
thing.
It's all about at the moment.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm going to pull it up there, ladies. Thank you ever so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm really not surprised that both your businesses took off so quickly. I've been Paul James on the Cat Business Club's podcast, and we'll see you again another time. Thank you very much, and goodbye.